We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All righty. Good afternoon, all. Happy Friday Eve. Thursday it is, January 23rd of 2020. Which means that a year from now, Donald Trump will be well into the first week of his second term in office. We certainly hope so. That would be my prediction at the moment. Oh, before I forget, this hour's keyword is day, as in that's what day it is, D-A-Y, day. You can text it to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. So the keyword is day, D-A-Y, text it to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. Not a bad thing. This is yours truly, Jim Bohannon, and we are delighted to be with you this afternoon at 1063 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and also 1063WORD.com, and also in the Southern Upstate, 101.5 FM, based in Anderson. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. 71307. We'll check out what the texters have going this afternoon in a moment. A reminder that, again, I'll be back tomorrow as Vince from 10 till noon. And future schedules, well, that's a higher pay grade than mine. So glad to have you with us today as the Democrats are continuing. And by the way, it's getting really, really heavy now. No president has ever abused power the way Donald Trump did in his Ukraine dealings. Ever. Wow. Remarkable. Warren Harding and the Teapot Dome scandal. And James Buchanan and all the machinations leading up to the Civil War. Ulysses Grant and all of the friends he had in high places that he just never bothered to check out. And, of course, Richard Nixon. Nope, none of them has ever abused power the way that Donald Trump has. Well, I guess if you run out of what to say, you just have to say it in a different way. I think that probably Missouri Democrat Roy Blunt has, Missouri Republican Roy Blunt has summed it up rather well. He says the Democrats have basically got about 1 hour of presentation, and they gave it six times on Tuesday and eight times yesterday. There's just not much new there. Well, that's certainly true, although you certainly have to give them an A for effort because they're going to say it over and over and over and over again. Now, do they think that they're changing any Republican minds in the Senate? No. Do they think they have a ghost of a chance of getting 67 votes needed to convict the president and remove him from office? No. Again, they are doing two things, really. First of all, of course, they are trying to change the minds of voters, which is the only arena in which they think they have a shot. Get enough voters in enough key states to say, I voted for Trump in 2016, but I keep hearing all this bad stuff about him. He must really be a bad guy. I better not vote for him this time. That's what this is all about. And in addition to that, they're making campaign videos. I guarantee you, if you think that you have seen a lot of the Adam Schiffs and Jerry Nadlers and others of this world, oh, my friends, you don't live in their congressional districts. They're going to be seeing this over and over and over. And over again, they are making campaign videos. They're going to be featuring commercials. Yeah, Jerry Nadler, he is too enough of a left-wing hack and liberal enough. Look at all he had to say about Donald Trump. They're going to be running that in New York City the entire year to get him reelected over that challenger who was saying that Jerry's just not quite liberal enough. That's part of what they're doing today. So it's not a wasted effort if, from that point of view. So they're not going to get rid of Donald Trump. Maybe they'll get rid of him in November, but they have put out some excellent material for videos for their campaign reelection, which is what most of these people are really concerned about. Just in case anybody had any doubts, it's 311 here at 106.3 WORD. Of course, the Upstate's talk station, my friend. Let's see here. Jim, what will be Schiff's legacy when this fails? How will Democrats look at him? Well, that's an interesting point. There will be those, of course, who will say, nice try, Adam, but not good enough. And there will be others who will say, you didn't try hard enough, like the Alexandria Ocasio-Brainiacs of the world. That will be what they will say. But again, the fact that it'll fall short was known to everybody. They knew going into this what they had. They had virtually nothing, and certainly nothing to change that many Republican minds to get a conviction. So, again, it wasn't as though Adam had convicting the president and getting him out of office within his grasp, and he didn't quite close the deal. No. His legacy among Democrats is going to be, nice try, Adam. I really believe that that's what it will be. In fact, I'll go further than that. He'll eventually probably run for the U.S. Senate from California. That would be my guess. hate to say that that's what I see, but that's what I see. So partisan have we become that's how I see it. Let's not forget, Dianne Feinstein, California senator, Democrat, did not have her own party's backing for re-election. She won in the primary. In fact, the polls, the voters liked her okay. But the party thought she was not conservative. She was not liberal enough. She was a little too conservative. That's the party we're talking about in California. They're going to love Adam Schiff. He'll be on a statewide ticket. You watch. Just the way it is. Let's see. I'm not sure. I'll just try to read this and hope that I'm reading it well. Ducks, oh my God, Bobby, oh Jim. But I am consistently amazed at how much money these people can save up and then spend torturing regular people, Katie and Danner. Well, I'm amazed at how much wordage these people can save up and then spend torturing regular people. they certainly are managing that here. Okay, another texter says, Jimbo, Schiff for brains with his crazy eyes. They are crazy, aren't they? Those are Charlie Manson eyes, I got to tell you. Those are Charlie Manson eyes. Seriously. Oh, my goodness. Schiff for brains with his crazy eyes, creepy tone, and vacant smile reminds me of that Marshall Applewhite creep that from Heaven's Gate. That's very good. Come to think of it, aren't they from the same area? Makes one wonder if Schiff was a member. There's no evidence besides his weird personality. I say we impeach him. Why not? That's right. We charge you with obstruction of normalcy. We charge you with being weird looking there, Adam. Weird looking, yeah. Okay, this impeachment stuff would have been over in a day if they would have banned cameras from the chamber so the Democrats could only preach to each other. To a certain extent, yeah, again, as I said, most of them have got the videos rolling back in their office. They're making campaign videos. Look, here's Adam. Look, here's Jerry. See how much we are dumping on the president? You got to reelect us. That's exactly what they're doing. You're serious. And I'm serious, too. That's exactly what's going on here. Okay. Jimbo, after 3 days of this impeachment trial, I'm done. Shut it down. No more witnesses. Do not drag this menagerie out any longer than it has to be. Well, I'll come back to that as the clock is ticking on the wall here. But again, I don't look upon this as something for my benefit or enjoyment. I look upon this as a method by which we can improve Donald Trump's chances of winning re-election. I'll explain in a moment. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, it's 3:15.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Afternoon, all. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. 1-800-347-1063. Delighted to have you with us this afternoon. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is at 71307. 71307. As we have a call from Rick in Fountain Inn. Good afternoon, Rick.
Jimbo, Rick Mosner here. I am the upstate region director for the South Carolina Convention of States Project.
Oh, and, outstanding. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I want you to know that Speaker Jay Lucas last Friday signed on to H3125, which is our convention's resolution. In addition to that, we have picked up in the last 2 weeks since the session started 15 new co-sponsors. We now have 45 co-sponsors in the House. And for S-112, which is the same duplicate bill in the Senate, we picked up an additional co-sponsor, and we think we got 4 or 5 on a hook. We want to get to 23 or more in there, so we got a quorum in the Senate. We feel confident we have the best chance ever since I've been working on this since 2013. Finally, a vote in the Constitutional Law Subcommittee in the House to be scheduled, and then get it out on the floor of the House through the House Judiciary Committee and get it over to the Senate. Now, there's going to be a battle in the Senate because we've got adversaries over there, and they got that stupid minority report, which one individual senator who's in the committee who doesn't like it can put the minority report on, and that blocks the bill. And that's why the guys in the House say all good bills go to die in the Senate. But we've got plans to deal with that, and we are hoping that this is going to be our year.
Well, I certainly hope that it does work out. I've been a big supporter of this from the beginning. Now, there are huge Republican majorities, of course, in both houses of the South Carolina legislature. I'm wondering if the opposition is coming just from Democrats, whom I assume will be universally against this because this particular convention would try to limit government power, and that's the last thing they want. And, of course, there are Republicans, I gather, who are afraid of a, quote, runaway convention, an argument I've dealt with on many an occasion. For those who don't know, an Article 5 Constitutional Convention of the States cannot change the Constitution. It can recommend changes.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've got some opposition in the House Republicans, but by and large, we've got a majority of the Republican caucus that is in our court and who is favorable. Now, there's some of them that don't want to come out of the, you know, from under the covers on that, and we deal with that individually. But the case, the simple case is that it can't run away, as you indicated, because assuming that the meeting is only going to make recommendations back to Congress, Congress sends them out. Congress's only role in this is to determine the mode of ratification and to call the convention after we reach a quorum of 34. So it takes only 13 states to stop, a rogue amendment. But I'm here to tell you that there's not going to be a rogue amendment. There's 34 states that form the quorum. Those are all states that are controlled by Republicans, and those people are bound by oath. And in some cases, like Indiana, there's criminal penalties if they go outside of the scope of our call. In the Louisiana legislature, they've got civil penalties. In South Carolina, we got Section 3 of H3125, which specifies how we're going to select our delegates. And also they swear an oath to follow the instructions, not only in the resolution, but in the special instructions that will be given to them when they go to the meeting. And we have a recall provision in there. We don't need the governor's signature to pass this.
That's something to keep in mind here. This is not like a law. This is strictly a power that belongs to the legislatures.
Absolutely. And if the governor, well, the reason we want the governor's signature on it, though, because we want Section 3 to have the rule of law. So if there's a recalcitrant, delegate, number one, the delegates that go, the five, and there's five backups, they swear that any one of their partners out there go out of line, they're obligated to report that back to the legislature. And we want to be able to send the state police after those guys if that guy didn't want to come home.
Wow. Now, something else that also I think needs to be kept in mind about this whole process is I've heard people tell me, you know, have we ever done this amend the Constitution before? No, we've always used the other method outlined in the Constitution, passage by 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate. However, it just so happens that using that process alone over the first 200 plus years in this country have led to a lot of things building up that could never get past the Congress. I don't care what party you're in. A lot of the things that are being talked about for this Article 5 Constitutional Convention of the States are things that Congress hates. I mean, Republicans and Democrats, because it ties their hands. It restricts their power. Things like term limits, no budget, no congressional pay, this kind of thing. These are things that would never get through the conventional method of amending the Constitution.
Absolutely. Since I've been involved in this, even before, I always thought I was voting conservative by voting Republican. I retired in 2007 and woke up and smelled the roses. I joined the Republican Party, and I'm still a member of the Republican Party. And I look over the top of my glasses when people ask me, why did you join the Republican Party? And I say, because I want to keep my enemies close. And I'm only half kidding. There's a lot of good people in the Republican Party. We've got great representation in South Carolina. We've got the Freedom Caucus. But the Freedom Caucus is only a small group of, 190 Republicans that we have. So they can't move the ball in the direction towards smaller government, controlling the deficit, reducing the debt, or putting term limits on ourselves. That never, ever is going to happen. They're impotent to do that because they're locked in by the lobbyists.
Bottom line would be that progress is being made. I've lost count of the nationwide count. Last I checked, I thought it was like in the vicinity of 20 or something. I'm not sure. You would have a better handle on that than I would.
We're not there yet. We might get there this year. We're optimistic that we're going to get 4 to 6 this year. We've got 15 now, and we need 34, so we got 19 more to go. So I made a prediction 2 years ago that we're going to get this done by 2023, and at the rate that we're passing them over the last 3 years, we're going to make it in 2023. Now, it's going to get a tougher road to hoe as we go forward. But in the Southeast, North Carolina and South Carolina, not to mention Virginia, which they just went Democratic, of course, are the only states in the Southeast of the southern states that have not passed it. So we want to be number 16, and there's a race for that. In Wisconsin, they just passed it out of one of their committees. I don't remember if that was the House or the Senate. Mm-hmm. But there's progress going in at least 20 other states. And we've done polling around the country. In December 2017, the Trafalgar Group, which was the only polling group in the country that accurately predicted the swing states that Trump was going to win, did a poll of 2,200 people in South Carolina, which is a huge poll for the size of the state, and 65% of the respondents indicated that this is something that we need to do. And every other state that we've polled, well, we think we got a strong chance of passing, have similar numbers ranging from low 60s to mid 70s.
All right. And how would people learn more? Is there a website they can go to?
Absolutely. They can go to conventionofstates.com, and real simple process in about 90 seconds. You put in your name, address. That helps us system determine who their South Carolina senator and representative are. It sends an email in their name to them. There's a block they can check to volunteer. They can go to South Carolina Convention of States on Facebook. They can go to Convention of States on the national page also.
Fair enough.
And there's a real nice post. I sent a link, the text message. I don't know if you can see it. of the announcement with Jay Lucas out in support of us.
Well, good stuff, Rick, and thank you very much. Rick and Fountain Inn, an update on the Article 5 Constitutional Convention of the States, a very worthwhile idea. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, and it's now 3:29. And glad to have you aboard this afternoon. Thanks to Rick and Fountain Inn for his update on the Article 5 Constitutional Convention of the States, to which, by the way, a texter said, read Justice Antonin Scalia's opinion on the Constitutional Convention. He said it would end our Constitution. I'll quote you what he actually said in a minute. And also read Phyllis Schlafly, her thoughts on the Constitutional Convention. Schlafly said that she felt dark money was pushing this Convention of the States. Well, not this Convention of the States. And as for what Scalia had to say, he had to say that the founders anticipated that Congress would resist giving, quote, due attention to many issues the people are concerned with, particularly those involving restrictions on the federal government's own power, unquote. For this reason, they provided the Article 5 remedy, quote, if the only way to get that convention is to take this minimal risk, then it is a reasonable one, concluded Scalia, who did not say anything like what the texter said. All right, let's go to Paul in Inman. Good afternoon.
Jim, good afternoon. This is somewhat insulting to the intelligence of average patriotic man or woman in the state of South Carolina.
And why would by this, you're referring to what, the Article 5 Constitutional Convention?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Yes, because there's also an option. There is a situation there that no one can tell what to do to the delegates once they open the convention. They can actually make a rule saying that now everything is on the table. There's nothing stopping that.
Oh, they could make that rule. But then again, if you put out something wacky like only left-handed people get to vote, how are you going to get that past 38 states? Because the Constitutional Convention cannot change the Constitution.
It's very easy. You remember the income tax? How much was the initial amount?
How much was what?
1% of everybody's income. Income tax.
The income tax was an amendment to the Constitution, which was brought about through the passage by the House and the Senate and by the 38 state legislatures. A constitutional convention had nothing to do with the passage of the income tax.
Exactly. But we have people like Soros buying politicians left and right. We don't know how many are on his payroll.
Trust me on this, Paul. Paul Soros is not interested in getting anybody at this convention, because this convention is aimed at doing the one thing Paul Soros hates, and that is limiting federal power. This entire convention is aimed at restricting federal power.
It is. That's what it said it is supposed to be. But I don't trust
right.
them a bit whatsoever, because there are way too many things that they can pull through technicalities and get us...
What technicalities? I mean, what technicalities are you talking about? I mean, the idea... In other words, you just want to leave things the way they are, Paul, and I don't.
We're drifting in a very terrible
direction, and this constitutional convention would, in fact, move us in a good direction.
No, we have...
Yes, it would.
It's called a nullification. We can nullify absolutely everything...
No, you can't. Were you listening, Paul? The constitutional convention cannot amend the Constitution. It can only recommend changes, which still must get past 38 states. Put another way, any 13 states can block anything this convention does.
This is something I'm not willing to touch. This is like playing...
Well, you might want to look into it if you're so opposed to it. I repeat, any 13 states can block anything this convention proposes, because that would mean only 37 were in favor of it.
Okay. I just read way too many stories in history where supposed legislature at federal state level did something that is contrary to the intent of the Constitution.
No, I'm afraid that the way this is set up, it doesn't matter. This Constitutional Convention could in fact endorse an amendment that only left-handed people could vote. And it still
correct.
Wouldn't have
right.
any impact on the Constitution. It would have to get past 38 states. And something as stupid as that
right.
would never get past 38 states, Paul.
Jim, do you remember one instance when Congress limited its own power? Can you
no, and that, but that's precisely why we need this. It's because Congress would block every one of the amendments that are needed here. No budget, no congressional pay, term limits. Any law passed by Congress must apply equally to the Congress and to the people. That's the very reason we need this convention.
Well, this is just a little bit beyond me to open up so much of an instructional manual for to running the country to a bunch of hooligans that we can't...
Well, I'm sorry that these bunch of hooligans can only recommend changes. They cannot change anything.
I don't know. That's
well, no, I do know. That is in the Constitution. I don't know. Maybe you've never read the Constitution, Paul, but that's in there.
I have read it.
Well, good to know that you have, but apparently not that part. Okay, whatever. I'm just telling you that your worries would be well-founded if, in fact, this convention could do anything other than recommend. It cannot.
Jim, we have a situation where plainly stated Article 2 is misinterpreted on every possible level in our disfavor. You see what I mean? This is the interpretation of it.
Whatever, but that's happening in the courts, Paul, and there's nothing in this about the courts. I mean, you're basically saying is that the way things are going is just hunky-dory, so we dare not change a thing. And I disagree.
The way things are going are not
hunky-dory.
They're not hunky-dory. I agree with you.
That's right, but you don't want to do anything about it.
To fix it. No.
How would you fix it? If you're not going to use a constitutional convention, please tell me how you would fix any of those problems of Congress passing one law for the public and one law for themselves, of Congress not passing a budget, of Congress serving until they get defeated or they die in office. How would you fix that?
Get the state's legislatures and quit taking federal money.
That's going to happen. Oh, sure, right. The state legislatures are going to quit taking federal money. That's a nice pie-in-the-sky dream, Paul. It's not going to happen.
And this is why we cannot fix this way, because...
I have an answer. It's now we can't do anything. We can't fix it. I see. Well, your point has changed, apparently.
Jim, we are the producers of wealth. Men and women are the ones that actually produce stuff.
I'm aware of that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But yes, men and women produce stuff. I agree.
Right. Correct. And we are being our credit, our great-great-great-grandkids' credit, has been already ruined to the point that we are laughingstock.
You know, that's something else this convention can take up, too, a balanced budget amendment, so we stop doing that.
Right. The best way to do that is to stop sending them the money in the first place.
You stop sending them the money, but this would be a mechanism by which that would happen. Paul, your answers are all in the category of pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's not going to happen. I'm talking about a proposal which could actually make something happen. That's all I'm talking about.
But your pie-in-the-dream is another paper is going to fix it.
This is not a pie-in-the-sky. No, this is a mechanism by which this would happen. I'm sorry, Paul. I mean, we could go over this over and over and over again, but I'm afraid that you want certain things fixed, and you are in favor of blocking anything that could actually fix it, and I just don't find that a constructive solution. Now, that was your turn, actually, but... Well, anyway, it's been fun talking to you. Again, a constitutional convention of the states cannot change the Constitution. It can only recommend changes, and nothing wild and wacky is going to get through 38 states. Put another way, quite frankly, I am fearful that the only real flaw in this constitutional convention process is that it will recommend some fine ideas, and that 13 liberal states, which is all it would take, 13 states... 13 liberal states could block the good things it would try to do. And that is a genuine inherent flaw. But at least you could get as far as proposing such amendments. And our current process wouldn't even get that far, for what it's worth. And I'm sure that Paul is a well-meaning individual. But again, saying that the state should stop taking federal money. Well, sure, exactly. And the sky should be purple at sunset, and cancer should go away. I mean, there are a lot of things out there that fall into the category of ain't going to happen. So anyway, it's still a good idea. There are plenty of safeguards. In fact, there are so many safeguards that probably most of these constitutional convention ideas, good ideas, would not make it. But at least they'd have a chance, and that's a good thing. Glad that Rick called in, because that's a discussion worth having. Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD, and we'll be back in just a moment. It's now 15 before 4. Well, we can ignore that legendary thing there, but it's good to be with you today. Jimbo for Bobby Mack on this Thursday, January 23rd. I'll be Vince tomorrow, and we're, of course, available at the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 1-800-347-1063. Evan is calling in from Spartanburg. Good afternoon, Evan.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Jimbo?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Good, good. Just going back to this Article 5 topic, you and I talked yesterday, and you have a lot of confidence in this getting done the way you want it. And if it's not done the way you want it, you don't think it's going to get passed by the states. Now, would you say the 16th and 17th Amendment are good amendments or bad amendments for our Constitution?
Refresh all of us, since I don't have them memorized again. What are these amendments?
Well, the 16th Amendment goes into the income tax.
Okay, the 16th Amendment is the income tax amendment. The 17th Amendment is the direct election of U.S. senators. Okay.
Yeah.
Personally, I have no problem with the income tax, although I would prefer a value-added tax. And as far as the direct election of senators, yes, I think that's a good idea, but that's beside the point.
Really?
38 states thought it was a good idea, and they put it in.
So just because they put it in, you think it's a good idea for a constitutional republic?
Well, my point is that my opinion doesn't matter. I think the process is a good process. 38 states represents a pretty serious level of consensus on the subject. That's my point.
Well, the 16th Amendment was actually a communist plank. The direct income tax comes from the Communist Manifesto.
I don't care. Look, there we need taxation, and if you just want to talk about the income tax and ignore the Constitutional Convention, the fact is I can think of better ways to tax, but we certainly can't depend just on tariff revenue like the country originally did. So, I mean, the mere fact that these were adopted by a process that I consider to be, by definition, one of consensus. You don't get past 38 states without some level of consensus.
Well, it's by consensus. A lot of times we lose what we have.
Well, that may well be, but in that case, you don't care for the Constitution. I mean, would you like to amend the Constitution so that instead of 3/4 of the states, it takes 80% of the states? I mean,
I don't want to amend the Constitution right now. I just want our congressmen to obey it. And that's why I called in about William Timmons yesterday. He's not obeying the U.S. Constitution. He has no right to tell us that we need to change it. He needs to obey it first.
Well, in your view, I put it this way. I'm talking about things that can actually happen, just to respond, and now go ahead.
Okay. Congressman Thomas Massie, he is 100% on the Constitution, and he is telling us, if you go to his Twitter page, he posted recently, it doesn't matter what you change the Constitution to, congressmen aren't going to obey the Constitution unless the electorate starts to... Oh, you think magically the congressmen are going to start obeying the Constitution once a constitutional convention takes place?
Yes, I put it this way. If you put things in the appropriate explicit language, they'll have no choice but to, yes.
Well, then why don't they obey the Second Amendment? Because right now I shouldn't have to have a permit to carry a gun according to the Second Amendment.
Well, again, as I have noted before on this program, the Second Amendment is rather sloppily worded. If it had just simply said, just allow me to read. If it said the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, that would have been explicit and clear. But, of course, there's that qualifying clause that has been the basis for all of this wrangling, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, comma, that's where all the trouble entered in. If they had wanted to be explicit, they would have just said the second part.
So what
I mean,
about
that's
the
reason I happen to agree with your interpretation, Evan, but that doesn't alter the fact that that's where the problem arose.
The Fourth Amendment, the government spies on us every day through our cell phones. So why isn't that being obeyed? We have the right to our privacy, right?
We have the right to our privacy, and again, I am merely noting that when you get into words such as unreasonable search and seizure, then you get into the areas of interpretation. And yes, I would agree with you that there have been some misinterpretations of that. But what you are suggesting is basically that we're incapable of governing ourselves, and that it doesn't matter what we do.
What I'm suggesting is that now is not a good time to call a constitutional convention, because we do not have James Madison's and George Washington's.
Well, you want to wait until they're cloned back into existence? I mean, what you're basically saying, there is no hope. So why do we even bother?
I'm not saying there's no hope. There's hope if we get Congressman William Timmons to finally start obeying the U.S. Constitution. He called the United States a democracy yesterday. That was something the founders would have never said about our Constitution.
Okay, it's a representative democracy, which is a republic. I'm well aware of the distinction. All right, so Mr. Timmons is a little sloppy in his language, I would agree. But that doesn't alter the fact that this Constitutional Convention has the potential to move us incrementally in the right direction, and I still say it's a good idea.
And
this notion that no matter what you do, they're going to ignore it, then in that case it doesn't matter what we do.
The fact is, though, Jim DeMint ignored the Constitution the entire time he's a congressman. He voted to destroy the Constitution.
Jim DeMint to be a liberal hack, then I must say, Evan, I'm not sure what we have to talk about.
Well, I'm not sure either. I'm surprised they allow liberal progressives to actually host the radio shows on Word Radio.
You consider me a liberal progressive with the stuff that I've had to say on this program? I mean, please, that's ridiculous.
You're very progressive for me. I'll hope that in the future you become more conservative.
Well, I'll try to do the best I can, Evan, because goodness knows I'll be sucking my thumb tonight or worrying over the fact that I haven't lived up to your august standards. But thank you very much for your call. Anyway, you can count me in with Jim DeMint any day of the week against Evan on the other side, and I consider that good company, quite frankly. No, things are not all hopeless. No, things are not all lost. No, it doesn't matter what we do. Oh, please, that's nonsense. In point of fact, this Constitutional Convention is not a panacea, and unfortunately many of the good ideas that it could produce would probably not get past the muster of 38 state legislatures, but at least it would give them a fighting chance. And doing things the way we've been doing them, which is what essentially the Evans and the Pauls of the world are arguing, because they don't want to take any move that could actually make a difference, the status quo is not acceptable to me. And again, I will not make any claims about panaceas, magic wands that can be waved. They don't exist. But this is a good idea, and it could make a difference. Would it make everything perfect? Nothing's going to make everything perfect. Would it make things better? It gives us the chance to make things better. That's a good thing. Anyway, we managed to go quite a ways there without talking about the impeachment trial, which in and of itself, I suppose, is what we would consider to be a pretty good thing. So I'm in favor of that. But I'm sure that we can't keep it going for a whole another hour. We'll find out. But anyway, our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. We'll see what the Democrats are and are not doing. And again, as Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri noted, they don't have that much to say, but they've got all this time they feel they have to fill, and so they repeat themselves over and over and over and over. That should tell you something, and whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that should tell you something. They have nothing new to add. They're out of steam. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 106.3 WORD, and it's 3 before 4.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.